Snyder, of course, on the team. They are ahead in the top of the fourth. It is Carmel 5, Menlo 0. I will keep you posted. Hope you're having a wonderful day. And, yeah, I'm having, I tell you, it's a good thing. It's a good day today. What else is possible? Everything is energy. Life force is energy, too, but it's a special kind of energy. It's not just the nerve impulses that cause you to draw breath or cause your heart to beat. Life force is the universal energy that you have available to you personally that you use to create your life. Specifically, the way the world works is that you, via intention and consciousness, direct your life force to organize universal energy into everything in your life, your bank account, your job, your relationship, your possessions. These are the words of Stephen Lewis. Stephen is the developer of the AIM program and co-founder of EMC Squared and co-author of the novel Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness. Now, he's been exploring energetic balancing for over 25 years. His path began with an interest in Oriental philosophy combined with German psychiatry, specifically the work of W. Reich, who believed energetic imbalance was the cause of all pathology. He's here to tell us more about it today. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Sheila.
Welcome back.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. Anytime.
Great. So, now let's just clear this up for our listeners so that they can kind of understand about the AIM program that you have developed. What does that specifically, how does that work?
Well, very simply, it is a spiritual technology. It's a holographic technology, and it's designed to help you heal yourself of any specific things wrong with you, which means that if I'm on the program, I will not be looking to see how my ovaries are doing. They're flawless. And you will not look at, about anything with your prostate. It's it's just, you're lucky. Perfect.
And my ovaries are great, too.
Flawless once again. The point is, it is specific. It's not general. And it is you healing yourself. And it is simply help. Now, I believe, Sheila, that only you heal yourself. And this doesn't denigrate healers, because I think healers are the most vitally important people in our lives, but they're misnamed. Healers don't heal you. They change your consciousness, and with that change, you are more readily able to heal yourself. And this, I think, this AIM program is the most powerful help available because it's the most unremitting, unrelenting. It's 24/7. You never get a break. You may ask for one, but you ain't going to get it.
You don't get a break to fall into dis-ease. Well, I am on the program. Now, I'll tell you, I'm feeling really good. And I, let's see, it's been, I think, a month or two since I've been on the program. And, you know, it's just like you said, I just know that I'm well, everything's working fine. So I'm not going to go in and, you know, get a bunch of tests done. But I still don't quite understand how it all works. So does this have to do with quantum physics at all?
Well, it does. It does, but, you know, once you get to know a little enough about things, every question becomes tricky because in quantum physics, everything is everything. It is about quantum physics, but quantum physics is really about spirituality. Because the same things that are said in quantum mechanics, the discoveries of Niels Bohr, David Bohm, all the giants, are fundamentally the exact same things that have been said by Buddha or Christ or other alleged ascendant masters. And now, I assure you that Buddha and Christ couldn't touch Niels Bohr or David Bohm in their mathematical ability. I don't think they could even touch Stephen Lewis in that. But at the same time, they were light years ahead of all the physicists you can name. So, sure, it's about physics and about mathematics, but it is fundamentally about spirituality. Because life is an essentially spiritual process. If you speak about the holographic process that we use at EMC Square with the AIM program, that hologram is no different than Buddha saying, speaking of being in the oneness. Well, that is a quantum concept. That's a holographic concept. The idea that everything interconnects with everything is fundamentally no different than Christ saying, what you do to the least of mine, you do to me. Mm. And so, sure, chill is about physics, but I think the spiritual aspect of things might have gotten there a little ahead of Einstein.
So, let's talk about spirituality for a moment. These are some crazy times, some very tumultuous times. A lot of people saying the end of times, the end of the 2012 Mayan calendar, and a lot of rocking and rolling on the planet. Do you think the floods and the terrible tornado that just happened, all that stuff, do you think that has to do with the consciousness of humanity?
I think that, no, there's always been floods and tornadoes, and there's been Mount Vesuvius, and there's been everything else, and there's been an ice age, and whatever you can think of, there has been. But I do think we're on the right track to speak of it, because I think the real, real revolution is not going to be manifested by the floods, by the natural disasters, but more by disasters that we can say we had a vital share in creating this. I think that ultimately everything is karmic. And so, no, there will be floods. There have been, and there will be, and there are. But there are things that we are creating. And I think we need to look in that direction to see what is fundamentally predicted. I mean, you know, you can speak about 2012. I firmly believe the planet will continue. It will survive. It will endure. And if it doesn't, then what's the difference anyway? I mean, you know, if there's no planet, there ain't going to be any radio either.
That's right.
So why bother to think about it?
That's right.
But the question has been, will man continue to endure, to survive on the planet? I think the answer is yes, but this is indeed a revolution. And it is a revolution in consciousness, which makes it the most powerful revolution that you can read of in the history of mankind. And in any revolution, there is a rate of attrition. A revolution is evolutionary, but it's evolution sped up quite a bit. And I think that's what we're in the middle of right now.
Mm.
Now, it has not been perceived by the public, and it will be, and you'll know when it is, because it's going to be on the right-hand side of page one. It's, you know, you're not going to read about there's a revolution going on page 38, you know, in the filler. It's going to be right there in front, and I believe that is what's happening. And I think that it was inevitable and is inevitable, and I think that, you know, it's hard to say, but I think it's in a way it's a good thing. We must change our consciousness, which is to say we must live understanding that consciousness is the dominant factor in life. Because, look, sure, E does equal MC squared. Everything's energy. But, I mean, what can you tell me about energy, Sheila?
Just that it's everywhere. What can I tell you?
Nothing.
I can't tell you nothing about it.
You can't tell me nothing about it because there's nothing you can say because energy has no particulate values. It has no specific smell. It has no weight. It has no feeling. It has no time, no space. It just is. All energy intersects with all other energy. It is. There it is. It is. Now, but we live a life that is not that broad, that generic. We live a life that is not simply a wave everywhere, but is a particle, and particles, particulate. It's substance. Our life has a feeling. You and I look different. Your elbow looks different than your foot, and so on and so on. And your foot looks different than the hound dog across the street. And we live a life that is particulate. And what is it about life that creates life for better or for worse? For better and for worse. What takes this raw material, this stuff that's amorphous and has no shape, no nothing, what takes it and gives it form and shape, what gives it mass, what gives it every property is consciousness. That's the biggest news of all, because what gives it shape, what gives it its state, you do, I do, we do. We do it individually for ourselves, and we do it collectively for all of us, and we do it ultimately for the planet. We do it with consciousness. And if that is the case, then we are destined to live in a higher state of consciousness. And all the things, the revolutions, the smaller revolutions you're seeing globally, are those who are lining up on one side of that line saying, look, it was good enough for the Flintstones, it's good enough for me. And the others saying, it's time to move into a higher state of consciousness. And you see this battle, this struggle everywhere. You know, I mean, whether it's polluting, you know, an ocean, whether it's kicking a dog, whether it's living with the understanding that we're in this together, or living where you seek a state of exclusion. Exclusion being, you're chosen, he's not, she's not. You see it when you can say and must say, everybody's chosen. We're all chosen. We may not choose, but we're all chosen. And that is the choice offered to us. And the line that was once a fine line is no longer very fine. It's big, huge. And yeah, and the lineup on either side of that line is getting pretty big. That's why people like you or me or our friends like, you know, Wayne Dyer, Michael Beckwith, and we know them all. Their audiences are growing and growing and growing and growing.
Right, yes.
Because your program 10 years ago, wouldn't have had a fraction of the listeners it has now.
Wouldn't be allowed to be on the air talking about this stuff.
Well, even if it was, you wouldn't have the audience.
That's right, yes. That is
audience
big change.
Perceives something's happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that old Dylan song. Well, you know something's happening. You don't know what it is. Do you, Mr. Joe? Something is happening, and it's monumental. And people are perceiving it, and people not be able to describe it or define it. You are understanding it is about consciousness.
Yes.
I think this was inevitable.
And what? So critical mass. So the critical mass. Are we headed in that way? Are we going to win? We're going to prevail? This evolution of revolution?
Well, define we. I mean, there will be those who prevail and survive and those who do not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the criterion is going to be a state of consciousness. It's just kind of like the Ice Age. I mean, I am sure that dinosaurs at some level, in some way, were given a message saying, hey, we're fixing to have a cold snap here. All right? So you want to, like, grow a little fur? You want to maybe get that swampy stuff out of your diet? Because many species survived the Ice Age and thrived in the Ice Age.
Mm-hmm.
But when we do not adapt to that change, we don't survive. And I don't think that lesson has quite hit the right-hand column of page one yet.
Yeah, I hear you.
But it will. It will very shortly. Because, you know, what brought us here to me is we have advanced monumentally in one area, and we have not advanced in the fundamentally necessary accompanying areas. Our technology is extraordinary. I mean, technological things that are out here now that you and I use routinely are indistinguishable from magic.
Right.
20 years ago.
Right.
I mean, just pure magic.
Mm-hmm. iPad 2. Wow.
Okay. It's amazing. However, technology has absolutely no core value. It has no conscience, no this. It just has no scale of value.
Very good point.
Technology must be forced to serve spirituality. Because technology, and I've said this many times, is a cannibal. Now, if you're going to have dinner with a cannibal, I'd suggest you better check out the menu. Duh. I mean, that's how I feel about it, and I think that's what has brought us to this place. I mean, face it, we can speak of these miraculous things in technology and just accept them as routinely as, and here you go, we accept the concept of nuclear warfare. We accept biological warfare. That technology, you know, this is part of our dilemma, that the technology can be used for good or for evil. And we need to make sure technology is in the service of spirituality. And we need to do that. We've got to understand we're in this together. Each one of us is unique. But at that level, we're in this together.
It is 25 past the hour. This is Inspiration for Your Life. Sanctuary is the book, The Path to Consciousness, a novel by my guests, Stephen Lewis and Evan Slauson. Stephen is the developer of the AIM program. Healing energies are sent to you 24/7. I tell you, I am on the program. My two children are on the program, and we haven't had a cold. We're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back in one moment with Stephen Lewis back after this.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking happy.
What if you could be your own healer? You can unleash your natural healing abilities with the AIM program of energetic balancing. Everything is energy, and we are all connected by it. Tap into this spiritual energy and heal yourself 24/7 from anywhere in the world. This exciting spiritual technology has been featured in best-selling books like Natural Cures and in Dr. Wayne Dyer's There's a Spiritual Solution to Every Problem. To learn more about the AIM program and energetic self-healing, visit aimprogram.com or call 877-500-3622 to request an information packet. Ask about our complimentary scholarship programs for those with the frequency of autism or Down syndrome. Join nearly 50,000 worldwide and unleash your natural self-healing abilities with the AIM program of energetic balancing. Learn how to raise your consciousness, increase your life force, attract abundance, love, and more. Call 877-500-3622 or visit aimprogram.com for details.
What if you had a life beyond your wildest imagination? What if life is about living in the question? I'm Sheila Gale. Access Consciousness are tools and processes that allow you to change anything in your life that is not working for you. Isn't that cool? One of the main concepts in Access is the question. What if instead of question answer, it was question receive? You see, as humans, we're great doers and givers, but lousy receivers. We're meant to receive, but we've forgotten how. Access Consciousness is unlike any technique or modality I've ever seen. It is here now because it's time now for us to wake up to the truth that we are infinite beings and to stop playing small. What if the answer is actually the question, like, what would it take for me to have lots and lots of money? Instead of looking for answers, there's awareness and energy that allows the universe to send it to you. Answers, conclusions, opinions all stop the flow of energy. How does it get any better than this? For more information, go to accessconsciousness.com. Accessconsciousness.com.
Jimmy Mac, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back? Jimmy Mac, Jimmy, oh, Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back?
And welcome back. It is 28 past the hour. This is Sheila Gale. Hope you're having a terrific day. My guest is Stephen Lewis, a developer of the AIM program. My entire family participates in the AIM program, and I have seen wonderful results. This is real. It's transforming. It is true healing, and it's a giant step into the inevitable future where each of us is our own personal, transcendental, and totally enlightened healer. These are the words of Dr. Wayne Dyer of the AIM program. So, Stephen, I wanted to ask you, it says in here, where did I see that? You made a distinction between the healing that is the natural result of a shift in consciousness as compared to the medical trio of diagnosing and treating and hopefully curing.
Yeah, no, one is healing and the other is not. And I'm not denigrating. One is treatment. And hopefully curing or whatever the word used is. And I have nothing bad to say about that at all, you know. I mean, if it works, good. That's fine. But healing comes from you, inside you, whereas treating and hopefully curing are done to you.
Gotcha. That
is the most fundamental difference.
How can raising your consciousness... So are you saying that when you raise your consciousness, you sort of get into a frequency of healing? Is that a higher frequency of health?
Well, it must be specific. It's not quite that general. I mean, at its best, it would be. Okay? However, it is really not that general because if you have what we would call a negative frequency, you can heal it. There is nothing you cannot heal. But it's a question of what does it take? Now, for example, if you have a paper cut, do not quit your day job. Don't bother. But if you have some dire condition, you may need to focus your on healing that condition. And that may be what your job is at that time. You know, it may not be a question of a day or a night or whatever it is. If it takes a month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, it takes what it takes. But whatever it takes, you can heal it.
You know, it makes sense that we would be born with the ability to heal. We have a full pharmacy inside our body. We have simply been sold a bill of goods that are not true.
Well, you know, we're sold a bill of goods by our parents, or we're sold a bill of goods And, you know, it's very, very tough to reach out and say, there's where the circle begins. I mean, our parents meant well, but you were raised, no doubt, the same way I was, and that's basically saying that you got to hope to get lucky. Because if, you know, something happens, you go to someone who can fix it. And if you can't fix it, you're in deep whatever. And that's just the way it is, so you better get lucky. The idea of that we all are empowered to heal anything we have is just not part of the upbringing, you know, of anyone I've ever known when I was a kid. And not many now, but some. It's just, and our parents didn't know any better. The point is,
right,
we are empowered. We can heal absolutely anything, but you need help. Most people need help.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're empowered, you're responsible. You know, and that's, this is not the time for pride. Anything that can help me in terms of healing, anything can help me increase my consciousness, I accept it. Thank you very much. There is no room for ego there. Ego will only get in your way.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you there.
Yeah, and so, I mean, but there's not, look, you know, even in little stories that are authenticated, and like people who are in hospice, and just to ease their transition, which is our contemporary word for dying, or dead, or whatever, to ease that, sometimes they're given a puppy or a kitten. You're familiar with that, right?
Right.
And it's been documented. A lot of these people, this puppy or kitten may be the first unconditional love they've ever experienced in their lives. Now, if you would say to me, so do you think dogs and cats can cure cancer? No, they can get cancer. Ask any veterinarian. But if we rephrase it and say, do you think unconditional love adds to your ability to heal yourself, adds it tremendously? The answer almost, from almost everyone is yes. And they document a lot of these people with that little factor have gone into spontaneous remission and healed themselves.
Wow.
I mean, you've read about that. You know, no, the dog and cat didn't wear white robes.
Right.
They looked kind of silly, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a white robe. No pulpit, but to that person, that's the greatest healer they've ever known in their lives, that puppy or kitten.
So I have a question. Now, I interview a lot of people that have these new healing modalities like the emotion code, the release technique, and all of them with the same kind of theory that humans have this 90%, 95% of us are subconscious, and in their lives, all these blocks from traumas, emotions, et cetera, that have happened in our life, either this lifetime or lifetime before, that need to be released through their technique. Do you have the same kind of idea about how that works?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't presume to say I know everyone else's technology. I don't, and I never will, because a lot of it's proprietary. However, what I do is this. I look and say, okay, you're using this healing technology. Let's see how you're doing. And I look and do an evaluation on their hologram. Anything unique to you is your hologram, whether it's your hair, your blood, or your photograph, your picture. It's unique to you. It is you holographically. And if I look at someone using a given technology and they're doing well, I'm impressed, you know. I mean, I go, wow. And if they're not, I don't say it's dishonest. I simply say it don't appear to be working. Now, there are many disease frequencies I've discovered that may not be known. So if someone has something that's not known, I certainly couldn't say, well, then, it proves anything, that, you know. But if you take things that have always been known. The frequencies of different types of tuberculosis, of the most common cancer frequencies, of all the things that we know well, and say, no, they have not, you have not been able to heal them. I would say the help you're receiving isn't enough. It isn't working. It's that simple. Without knowing the technology. And I've seen people using things. I've met people who use crystals in healing who are extraordinary. The only problem is that is an absolute art form, and it can't be used on a large number of people. The same thing is true of homeopathy, which is also energetic, true of acupuncture.
Right.
There are art forms. Getting a degree in it means nothing. I've got degrees. I've got a lot of degrees, including homeopathy and acupuncture. I'm not state of the art.
Right.
That simple.
I
know that.
The AIM program, you call it, it's a spiritual program, but it helps for people to unleash their own self-healing power that will release the blockages.
Healing is focus.
Oh.
It compels you to focus on absolutely everything and anything you need to heal, and keep focusing on whatever specifically you need to heal, which you, of course, know. I mean, if I do a mini evaluation on you, I will find some things out about you. Other things I will not find. Some things I can get wrong. But you can't get anything wrong about you.
Mm.
It's just that you know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you will focus every second of every day. You and, you know, your two kids. I have their pictures here.
Aww.
They will focus on whatever they need to heal. First, on the most recent things they've acquired. Then they'll get to the meat of it all, the heart of the issue, what they've brought with them, which I believe are basically things that they need to resolve. And when I say resolve, I don't mean resolve the physical disease frequency as much as I mean they have to resolve whatever it is that creates that disease. Because we create our lives for better or for worse. We create our elation. We create our depression. We create our cancer, we create our well-being. We are empowered to create, and therefore we are responsible. Now, to get back to your question, Sheila, are there technologies that I would say accomplish this? I know the AIM program does. If there aren't others, there will be, because healing is there. No one can be proprietary about healing. This is the most powerful because it's the most insistent, if you will. You never stop. Every second of every day, you are focusing and focusing. And if it makes you detox, you don't like it, too bad.
Oh, that's what happened to me yesterday. That's what that was.
Could be.
Boy,
but if it does, it does.
Yeah.
You're going to do it because whatever you're feeling, if things come to their full fruition, it would feel a lot worse.
That's true.
So you really have no choice if you get down to it. And that's the only way I can work. I can't sit and say, oh, what you're saying won't work. How do I know that? And how do I know what if you don't tell me what you're really doing? And, you know, if you've spent your life developing something and wish it to be proprietary, I understand that. You know, who am I to say you can't do that?
As my friend Darren Weissman says, symptoms are gifts in strange wrapping paper.
Symptoms are a drag, you know. I mean, it's your way of knowing something's wrong. Now, how wrong is it? Well, that can be determined. But there's nothing you cannot heal. Absolutely nothing you cannot heal. And once again, you just may need help. Most people need help. And once again, healers don't heal you, but they help you immensely. an effective healer changes your consciousness. Healing occurs in consciousness, in your consciousness.
If you're...
The body just tags along afterwards.
Okay. Stephen Lewis is our guest. He is the co-author of Sanctuary, The Path to Consciousness, and the developer of the AIM program. To find out more or if this resonates with you at all, you want to get some extra help with you, with the, whatever's going on in your life, go to, do you like the path2consciousness.com? Is that the right website? Or AIM?
Just aimprogram.com.
AIM. Aimprogram.com is the site to go to.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple, Sheila. Okay. So, wow. So tell me, what do you want our listeners to know today?
Well, I think we've touched on it already, and that I want people to know that, number one, you can heal anything about yourself. Secondly, there's help available. And thirdly, in the bigger picture, we are all in this together. We are all part of each other. We're connected. We've got to deal with this together. And we can forget about 2012. We can survive. We can flourish. But we must do so by understanding that we must work together. We're in this together. Now, I don't mean open your doors and allow everyone to come in and eat dinner and sleep over. But I mean we must have values that are core values that have to do with humanity that we respect. We cannot allow people to destroy the environment, for example. That has to be a law that is enforced, that is, it's just part of what we're in together. And we can heal anything about ourselves, and we must. And the battle is raging. It's already very, very, very late in that battle. It just has not gotten beneath, it just has not gotten picked up by the radar.
Yep, it is time to wake up, everybody. Wake up and smell the consciousness. I mean, seriously, we are infinite beings in this body here, and we're so much more than we even know, and capable of self-healing, absolutely. And I, you know, as Stephen said, as you said earlier, everything we do makes a difference. When you smell a flower, when you appreciate a tree, when you smile at someone, you know, you're leading toward consciousness or away. If you kick the dog, you know, you're not going toward it. You're not helping. You're not, you know. Someone said if you flap a butterfly flaps his wings in Thailand, it affects us here in California. We feel it, you know. We are all connected. Very
well, that is the metaphysical reality, but I can say this for sure. If you have a nuclear reactor melting down in Thailand or Japan, it affects us here in California. This is a global society. There was a time when we were kind of isolated, and we had protection against most things. Whatever happened in one country didn't impact another very much. Speaking of Europe as basically being a country, you know what I mean?
Right.
But there are no boundaries any longer. If there is a disease or a disease frequency in Africa, it'll be here in no time. And so on and so on. We are no longer afforded or accorded that natural protection. Mm-hmm. We don't have those boundaries anymore. And so, since they've been removed naturally, we must create our own boundaries that protect us. And that is something done by and in consciousness. We must understand that. Mm. Because you can't violate these laws as we do and just say, oh, well, you know, don't worry about it. Whatever's going to happen will happen later.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the mentality. I see, for the most part, governments as being absolutely devoid of any kind of a conscience. It's very strange to me, you know. I mean, I just don't get it. Why would anyone say, well, so what if we're the last generation? If that's the case, why bother to reproduce?
Good point.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
But that's politics, and it's not my bailiwick. For me, it's about whatever you have, you can heal. And you created it. It's like the ancient question. You know, long before there was any quantum mechanics, quantum physics, intellectuals would sit around in the coffee shops at the time and ask, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's going to hear it, does it make a noise? Right?
Right.
Well, you know, how do you answer that? You can say, no, it does not, because there's no consciousness. That's the quantum physics answer. And if no one's there to hear it, there's no consciousness. So without consciousness, there is no particulate. There is no material reality. And sound is real. It's manifest. It's physical. So no. That's one answer. Another is, yeah, it does make a noise. How do you know that? I just know about this stuff. Don't worry about it. Okay? And I'm closer to that answer myself. And I'm really pragmatic. Most importantly of all is this. It doesn't matter whether it makes a noise or not. I'll tell you what matters. If a tree falls in the forest, will it fall on you or not? And that is something that your consciousness can dictate. Your consciousness can prevent you from having the tree fall and hit you in the butt or the head or whatever.
Or being in the place when the earthquake strikes.
Your consciousness can protect you.
Yeah.
Everything else, whether it makes a noise or not, intellectual exercise. You know what I mean? It's good. That's good. It's always playing basketball. I like exercise. but this is the real issue. What you do, for better or for worse, that creates your life for better or for worse. And you can heal. You can. You know, with anything, you have that power, but you have that responsibility at the same time.
Mm.
You do it. And you probably need help. I mean, I don't think I've ever heard of anybody, met anybody who doesn't need help. And there are many kinds of help. You know?
Yes.
And consciousness is a very nebulous word, remember, Sheila. It's like, because there's stuff you know now that 10, 15 years ago was an utter mystery to you.
Totally.
And let's hope in 10 or 15 years you'll make the same statement. And always, because you're supposed to grow, you know?
Evolve. Ever unfolding, evolving, opening, blossoming, ever expanding. That's what life is. Dr. Wayne Dyer, Reverend Michael Beckwith, and author Kevin Trudeau are just three of thousands of individuals worldwide who have endorsed the AIM program. If you'd like more information, again, go to aimprogram.com. Is that where we can get the book, too?
You can get it there. You can get it at Barnes & Noble. You can get it, anywhere.
It's a wonderful book, Sanctuary.
There's also a toll-free number, and that's 877-500-3622. And no one's going to try and sell you anything, but if you want information, they'll send you any printed material you want. And but a lot of the book is on the website. You can get a lot of it there.
Great. Wonderful.
And quite a bit of it.
And by the way, and I know that you also work with people with autism, I want to tell you that my 14-year-old daughter is doing a documentary on autism.
That, you told me that.
Did I tell you that? She went on a field trip with the kids to the beach, and she sent me texts with her and the kids on the beach, and she filmed them on the beach and got real. And she just loves those people.
We have so many testimonials that if they were all written, we would have to get much larger offices.
Wow. Wonderful.
That came about from Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you know that.
Pardon me?
That autism program. It's free. Anyone who has a frequency of autism,
yes,
the AIM program is free.
That's right.
The same is true for Down's syndrome. But that came about from Wayne Dyer. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. But anyway, wow, wonderful. It's great to have you here. And you're here live today in Monterey, Santa Cruz County, and you're going to be on the World Puja Network in next month and KRXA and where else? Energy Talk Radio. So thank you. And thank you for the great work you're doing on the planet, Stephen.
And thank you for having me on anytime. My pleasure.
My pleasure as well. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It is 8 minutes to the hour, and we just have a few minutes left in the show. And I just wanted to mention to you that if you've not signed up for the free teleseminar that I have going on right now with 24 phenomenal speakers, please go to thesheilashow.com and click on teleseminar. Now, I had on today Dr. Dane here, phenomenal. Oh, it was so exciting to have this conversation about possibility. And, you know, it's kind of like that knowing thing inside you. You know what I'm talking about. It's like you just know that there's got to be more to life than this. That, you know, it's like you read these books, then you go to these seminars, and you get an aha moment here, and then all of a sudden you're back to the old trauma and drama of your life. Well, what if there is a possibility that you don't even know about? What if life is really about creating infinite possibilities for yourself? And that's like a reality, because I say it is. I have experienced it. I am experiencing it. And when you live in the question instead of answers, I just want to make this point. I've said it before, but I want to make it again. When you have an opinion about something, a judgment about something, there is a period after it or an exclamation mark, and that is the way it is. It's just, this is the way it is, okay? How does that feel when I say that? That's like kind of the end of any kind of possibility, because these are the answers. It's kind of like school, the uselessness of school. Sorry, but I believe that. I mean, it's got a few things, but really, I mean, for children to have to memorize, to just memorize information and then regurgitate it out onto the paper so that they can get an A, how much of that prepares you for life, ladies and gentlemen, for real life? How much of it? You know how much algebra I've used in my life? Zero. In my adult life? None. Okay. So what I'm saying is there is a possibility that you have not been told about, because you and I have had our blinders on, because we've been taught that this is the way it is, and that's just the way it is, and life can get this good but not that good. And, you know, if you tried something and it didn't work, you tried something else and you failed, well, don't try again, because, you know, it's going to end up the same way, right? So you stay, we become complacent, we get comfortable with our white cheddar cheese popcorn and Haagen-Dazs and the boob tube, or our martinis, or our other addictions, our Xboxes, or whatever it may be for you. And, you know, we try to fill ourselves with stuff. But the truth is, what about that burning, gnawing, yearning inside you that is saying, I know there's got to be something more than this. I know I'm supposed to do something else. There just has to be. Because if this is it, gong. It doesn't make sense, huh? I hear you. So I say here's what I say. Go to my website, click on the teleseminar, thesheilashow.com, and listen to Dane here to that interview we did today. It will knock your socks off. It is phenomenal. I'll just tell you a quick story. My precious son, who a week ago hit his first home run, and there was an article about him in the newspaper, and I was the proudest mom, and I didn't get to see it because I was on the radio. But guess what? The next day he said, Mom, I got to tell you, before I hit that home run that won the game, I said, How does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? How does it get any better than this? Boom! Home run. Okay, a coincidence? Not. I'm telling you, when you ask that question, how does it get any better than this? You're telling the universe, hey, things are okay, things are good, and I'll have more. And when you say, well, what else is possible? Then the universe starts lining up stuff. Oh, here, you want some more stuff? Good stuff here. I'll send it to you. And then when, you know, something happens that you don't like today I got a bill for $1,700 I wasn't expecting. And I got mad, and then I went, oh, yeah, I got to ask the question. What's right about this I'm not getting? What's right about this I'm not getting? Still waiting for that answer. But you know what I mean? It's seriously, ask the question. You know, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. So, you know, stop doing and stop giving so much and start asking question. Because the best is yet to come for you. And I know that. I'm so excited for you. And I wish you infinite love, and I thoroughly appreciate you. Thanks for lending me your ear. And until next time, my friends, I love you.
Feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. Only you can let it in. No one else, no one else can speak the words on your lips. Into something words unspoken. Live your life with arms wide open. Today is where your book begins. The rest is still unwritten. The rest is still unwritten.
Community Radio for the Central Coast, AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.
Hi, this is Samantha, station manager at KNRY and KYAA. Despite all the rumors, your local talk station just got a little bit better. In fact, we're only giving you more.